Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scouts, and hello to all the people listening on the podcast version as well. I've got another very special guest today after the success of speaking to Andy Social the other week. We've got another Fantasy Football Scout regular. He's not a horse, he's not an animal, he's a man. Yeah. It's Rupert the horse. I'm a little bit disappointed, Rupert, that you're not in like a full horse, like dressage outfit.
Yeah, sorry, I should have really, because I didn't think the mic would work properly. I thought we'd end up a bit muffled.
No, yes, that is true, actually. I mean, Andy and I did have some sound issues on the last video, so if you turned up and been muffled again, it might have led to some more complaints. But other than that, it was a great video. It was really good. It's great hearing from people from Scout.
And that wasn't a dig, Andy, if you're watching.
He's going to be fuming. That. I think he's gone out and bought a new headset as well, just because he heard it back. I was trying to explain to him, because it's hard to explain to someone when their sound isn't quite working. And then he heard it back and was like, oh yeah, it was a bit bad. But yeah, next time, Andy, we'll get your sound sorted and we'll do another video soon. So Rupert, thanks so much for joining me. You've been, I mean, we know each other quite well, because we've done quite a few of the community tournaments together. Yeah. I think you were part of a mutiny when I was captain 1 year.
Yeah, and rightly so, I think. Yeah.
they're tough. When you're the manager of teams and you've got, you know, 10 people and you're looking at the teams, you're trying to work out who you should play. I got it wrong every week. I remember just it was so hard knowing who to play, knowing who to bench. And I got it wrong. And yeah, everyone rebelled against me. But I do remember that when everyone rebelled, they didn't get it right either. So...
I mean, you're right. At least you didn't get injured after 5 minutes pretty much every game.
That's true. Yeah, because you did the tournament, right? The charity tournament.
Yeah, yeah. I did. Well, we've done about three or four.
Yeah,
three or four. Which would be lovely to get, sort of try and organise another one. Hopefully, once all this COVID stuff is over.
Yeah, there is one. There's one in the summer. I think Benny Blanco on Twitter. You don't use Twitter. We'll talk about that in a sec. But yeah, Benny Blanco is organising like a North and a South charity match, which I'm somehow playing.
Ooh,
to represent the Great Divide. The Great Divide. So yeah, we're kind of see how that goes. But yeah, so you've been on Scout for ages. You were, you know, you've been suggested to me as one of our top posters. I needed to get in contact with and have on the stream.
Awful suggestion. Awful.
And this is, if you're the best it gets, right? Then you know we've got to. It's. I mean, like I said, I've known you for ages. So when did you kind of discover Scout? How long have you used it for?
I've used it for 8 or 9 years. I started using it because I really liked the ticker. Mm. And I don't know if there's updated versions elsewhere, but I still use the ticker as my main tool. And that's pretty much what I've always used it for, mainly as the big sort of advantage. In terms of commenting and stuff, Yeah, I think I started a bit more about 7 years ago. It was quite different back then. I mean, lots of different people, things have developed in a different way now. But yeah, I'm back about 8 years ago. I think I was actually unemployed for a bit and I was on fantasy football scout all day long.
Sounds about
people
right.
Actually asked me, maybe shouldn't you get off a bit, do something else? I was like, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, it's a great community. It still is, you know. Even with, you know, we were talking to before this about Twitter and how, you know, a lot of people have moved over to there, and you know, it's one of the world's biggest platforms. Yeah. Obviously, it's easy to use and all that kind of stuff. But there's still this amazing community over on Fantasy Football Scout who use the boards, and you know, even with all the Rate My Teams and match day chaos and stuff. I mean, I've had some amazing, you know, memories on Scout on the board. You know, when a highly owned player, you know, gets a goal or an assist, and there's just pages and pages of people sort of celebrating. It's
yeah,
I quite like it.
Yeah, it's amazing, especially at 3 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday. I mean, you can go from a page lasting an hour to a minute.
I know.
Everyone's screaming the exact same thing. I'm still trying to figure out what CU means, but yeah.
Because you're also not a very, what's the nicest way of putting it? A technologically astute man. You never owned a PC, you were telling me.
No, I've never owned a PC or laptop. No, I'm awful. I'm one of these type people. I'm a screen poker. So yeah, I'm using my other half's laptop, and as you could tell earlier, it took me 3 or 4 minutes to figure out how to turn up the volume. Yeah, so everything I write on Fantasy Football Scout, every transfer, every wild card, every time I look at the ticker, it's all on my little phone.
All on your phone. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's quite impressive. I mean, writing out like lots of pages of posts and stuff on your phone as well is a. Maybe you need to get like one of those little keyboards for Christmas. Like a mini.
Yeah. No, I will get a laptop soon. I've got something coming up, so I will need to finally join the rest of the world in 2022.
Not much fun, to be fair. I wouldn't bother. Just stick to your phone.
No, right.
Live 20 years ago. Life was probably a lot easier then. Yeah. Right, let's talk about your sort of season history so far. So you've got a pretty good season history. You've been playing since 07-08, yeah, which is about when I started as well.
Yes, so this is my 15th season.
Veteran of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it goes back. I think the earliest it goes back is 06, 07. I think that's when they started kind of, you know, logging the scores and things.
That's almost disappointing.
Yeah, I know. We're one year out, both of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you started in 07, 08. So you had a 161,000 finish in your first season. I don't know how many players were playing then. That doesn't seem that good, though.
Well, that was one of my proudest seasons because I actually started in game week 5.
No way.
Yeah, so I think I was about 220 points behind the league leader when I started and actually won my mini league.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was, and this is before, I mean, overall rank didn't come into my mind up until I joined Fantasy Football Scout. It just wasn't something that I ever looked at. It was only ever my one and only mini league, so I'd always be focusing on this guy, my main rival back then, and to win that. When I joined in game week 5 using a computer in India, because I was in India at the time, I put together this team because my friend came and met me, and went on and won the mini league, which was just the best thing ever.
it's interesting because I mean I started using Fantasy Scout around the same time. That was to win a work mini league. It's the same with Andy. I'm guessing you're going to tell me that you started playing properly around the 2012-13 season, because that's when you finished 10k after just finishing outside the top million.
Yeah.
And then you've had a really good run of ranks after that as well. Was that about when you started taking it a bit more seriously, rank wise?
That's when I started to notice overall rank, I think, pretty much. And it's also when I started to discover stats.
Mm.
There's a chap who used to be on the Fantasy Football Scout called Dusra. And do you remember Dusra at all?
Oh, of course. Of course.
He used to have these tables, which I could never understand. He'd take the time out and explain them to me, and I still wouldn't understand. But what I would understand is his reasoning behind going for certain players. And so I'd then look into those players, but in my own way, looking at crosses into the box, successful crosses into the box, key passes. And that's when I found people like Tadic's stats. Do you remember Tadic?
I do, indeed. He never really delivered on his promise, did he? He was always top of every stats table metric there was. But
apart from one week.
Against Sunderland.
And he got 23 points, he didn't
indeed.
He?
Indeed.
And that's the week I got him in.
Yeah, and that was Sunderland. Pella as well, remember Pella?
I had Pella, Tadic and Bertrand.
That's right.
And I think they got me around 44 points or something mad like that.
Amazing.
That was all down to Deucer, really. Well, once I looked at Tadic, I then looked at other players and I got them in. And then I discovered this whole new way of figuring out who to get, because I've always purely and simply been a fixtures man.
Mm. So would you say, is that something you've carried on there? Are you still like big on the stats?
I do look at a little bit of stats, but I'd say I pay less attention to it now, purely because I'm quite busy and...
not unemployed anymore.
And annoyingly, I'll get my millions one day. But I've switched back again more to looking at fixtures and also looking at suggestions on the scout, because a lot of people will kind of do the digging for me, if you like. And
you casual, Rupert.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I'm casual. Like I keep forgetting to pick a good vice captain. Or switch my captain, or lots.
I'm guilty of that this week.
Say again.
I'm guilty of that this week. Didn't give the vice captain enough thought. Left it on King. Should have known that second game was going to get called off.
Yeah, I mean, this week I did think a lot about, but I actually meant to captain De Gea rather than Bowen. What I think I did was, I think I put it on Sanchez, my other keeper, and then switched the keepers round. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I've only discovered it this week. If you switch the players, the captain moves to your vice.
Okay.
Is that right?
Well, as in your lineup?
I believe so, because it's happened 2 weeks in a row. Nobody believes me. But it's happened 2 weeks in a row. I've switched someone out, and then I've gone, right, let's see what this game week's going to bring. And then I'm going, hang on, that's not my captain. I'm trying to figure out why my captain's not the captain that I thought it would be.
It's amazing that you've been playing for like 14 years and yet you're still learning stuff about the basic functionality.
Choose a captain.
A captain, and if you swap him out, make sure your captain and your vice are on the right players.
Maybe check,
yeah, or don't bother and just hope for the best. Is it interesting because you had a really good run? I mean, from 2012 to 2013, you finished 10k, 32k, 2k, which is your highest finish, 6.5k, and then about 40k, and then you've been struggling a bit over the last couple of years. 125k down to 51k, good finish. And then a bad year in 2019, 800, which is your second worst.
Yeah.
And then last year, 346. So you've obviously found it a bit tough in sort of COVID times, but you're having a good season this year.
I found it tough, I suppose, because there's a lot more information. So my digging up until a certain point has less, effect, less impact, because there is just more information out there for people just to find quite easily. Whereas I would invest time, too much time, for a game like this, but
don't know what you mean. I'll never do that.
No, of course you don't. But with COVID, I'd say last year was my first truly unlucky year. Mm. So I don't really like to blame luck, because, you know, if you've got bad luck, you'll get good luck another week. But last year, it was honestly hilarious. All I could do was laugh, because players were getting injured during the warm-up.
Yeah.
Things like that. Yeah, and I'm always a very late transfer sort of guy. That's why I never have a very high team value. If kickoff is on Saturday, the deadline's 11 o'clock, I'll tend to make a transfer around 10:30, quarter to 11, just to make super sure. But yeah, last year was just relentless. Every single transfer I made, I think for about 9 weeks in a row, each one got injured. Wow. It was just absolutely mental.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? You can always get on a run with bad decisions, even if the decisions themselves aren't bad. I've got a run of bad outcomes, I mean, even if the decisions themselves aren't that bad. Because I've struggled I struggled last season as well. Never seemed to be bringing in the right players. Whereas this year, it seems to be gone completely the other way. And I'm guessing this year that luck hasn't carried on, because you're, you know, sitting quite pretty at 63,000.
Well, so my rank is all to do with the pre-season. Mm. And I really wanted Benrahma. I wanted him as soon as he was sold, because I've got a friend who got me into Brentford, so I'd watched quite a bit of Brentford. But Benrahma, he was my top of my list pretty much, because I just really fancied him. Sort of like when Salah first came in. Not that they're quite the same player, but when Salah first came in, I was like, I know about this guy. I have to have him in my team. And so I had Antonio, Benrahma, and they were my two main guys that shot me up. So I shot up to about where I am, and I've been there pretty much all season. I got up to about 19k a month or two ago, and then I've just slowly fell down. I was one of the guys who I've got caught out. As I said, I always do late transfers. So I was one of the guys who got caught out by the crash.
I was going to ask. Yeah. You weren't on a free hit though, at least, which is...
No, I wasn't. I was doing Salah to Son. So was one of my rivals. So we were both doing the same move. So it didn't really affect the league. But I actually care more about overall rank now than the league itself. That was incredibly frustrating, because it's cost me quite a few points. But c'est la vie, I'll know now.
Yeah,
I'll move it back to 10 minutes before deadline instead.
I mean, you talk about luck, and I mean, you leave your transfers as late as possible, you know, because you never know when a game is going to get called off. You leave them as late as possible, and the site crashes. It's impossible to kind of, you know, predict something. Sometimes you just got to just accept that certain things are out of our control and not beat yourself up too much about it, but it's not always easy to do.
A lot of people did say, yeah, you should have expected it, but never even occurred to me. There was no real precedent apart from that year where we all got a second wild card. But it just wasn't something I thought about.
Yeah. Strange. Let's have a look at your team going forward then. Because like I said, you're 63k in the world. You're pretty well set up, I think. So your team, I'll just read out who you've got. You've got Tahir in goal. You've got Trent, Keane, and Cancelo. Jota, Rafinha, Bowen and Mount. Dennis, Ronaldo, Antonio. And then on your bench, you've got Sanchez, Gray, Janssen and Dawson. You've got a couple of interesting names. You've currently got Dennis captain, which I noticed.
Interesting.
First away.
A kind way to put it, yeah.
I don't think any picks are bad. They're just, I would say, a Dennis captain. I mean, Rafinha isn't in too many teams, but you've managed to work him back in. You've got Mount. I guess you've got a decision to make with him, given they've got a couple of blanks coming up. And you talk about the fixtures and stuff.
Yeah.
How come Mount ended up in your side?
Why did Mount end up in there? Because I will be selling Ronaldo to afford Salah,
right.
And Mount will become Salah. Okay. So for me, it was I didn't know what to do this week. I thought. With everybody either free hitting or regretting free hitting or taking minus eights, almost didn't want to be that guy who saves his transfer because I was pretty much going to save my transfer. But I thought, look, if I have a little punt on Mount, hopefully he plays both. Only played a few minutes in the first. It doesn't really matter that much because I'd probably end up hitting to get Salah back anyway. Mm. So I thought I'll just have a quick little punt. It hasn't paid off yet, but later tonight.
Yeah, I will say we're recording this at 5:39. I think this video will go out tomorrow. So it could be off the back of a huge Mount haul that this goes out and you'll look like an absolute genius.
Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah. That and I pretty much just nicked it off the Fantasy Football Scout. It was one of the scout picks. I was like... All right.
to be fair, I would say you're not supposed to say that, but it's quite a good sort of advertisement for Scout. Unless he blanks, or unless he's already blanked and you're watching this and you go, oh yeah, that's a standard Scout pick, someone who's not done well. Should be an interesting game, actually, tonight. Mm. We won't talk too much about it because it already happened, but yeah, I'm...
Well, I think it will be an interesting game because Brighton, they're tricky, aren't they? And they've already annoyed Chelsea this season. Mm. Things that Potter's doing there, I respect him so much. So I think it will be a really tricky one. Defensively, they're amazing. And think what they could do if they actually had a striker.
Oh, no, don't get me started. The game against Palace was one of the most frustrating games I've seen in about 2 weeks since Brighton last played football. So yeah, it's how it normally works.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, come back to you. You've got Keane in there. You actually benched Keane this week, which was good going. Well, he got an own goal, minus two. So he did well, but you benched him against Norwich. That was interesting. You're not afraid to make some you know, fairly big calls then.
Well, so I think it was, who else would I have considered? I saw a lot of people bench Cancelo.
No, yeah,
I'm not benching Trent. So it narrowed down the options. Obviously, I had to play Dennis because look, he hasn't got the double game week, but he could have had a double game.
Mm.
So it didn't leave too many options. I mean, he's actually second after Rafinha, so Rafinha could have even played for someone like, in hindsight, maybe Rafinha should have gone in for Gray because I should have just said to myself, Gray's a bad pick. But again, it's the Norwich thing. So I was like, I've got two Everton players. Surely I've got to play one against Norwich. And I couldn't believe the score. When I checked my phone.
I know.
Not my laptop. When I checked my phone, could not believe the score. Oh, my God.
What do you think about Everton going forward then? Because, well, I mean, firstly, actually, before I ask the question, how much football do you kind of watch? Would you say? Are you really into it or kind of just a bit of a passing?
No, I love football, but I don't have a traditional job which would afford me the time to be watching. A lot of the games are designed to be on, obviously, when the majority of people are off. So when everyone's off, I'm definitely working.
Yeah.
Yeah, the area I work is very much a rugby type area. But yeah, so I watch as much as I can. I watch every match today without fail. I haven't missed an episode for years. But yeah, I try and watch extended highlights of my team, Liverpool. But yeah, I just don't get enough time to watch.
Liverpool watch fan. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, well, my dad's from Liverpool, so it's not. I'm actually from down south. But yeah, support Liverpool, always have.
Yeah, nice. And well, obviously two of those in your team and plans to get Salah back. So you've got two Everton in your team at the moment. How do you reckon they're going to get on now that, I mean, Benitez was, I mean, it's gone worse than I think a lot of people even expected. And I don't think anyone thought it was going to go particularly well.
I thought it would go really, really badly. and it surprised me as it surprised you. I can't believe it's gone as bad as it has. I mean, signing an ex-Liverpool manager to manage Everton was, well, I don't know. I was very confused.
Yeah.
But going forward, even though the Everton fans are good, they got always got behind the players, even if they didn't get behind the manager. Don't know, new manager bounce, but who's the manager going to be? Be a bit odd if Martinez took the job.
Martinez, Rooney, Lampard's being linked as well.
Yeah, Martinez, not for me. He's just not the sort of manager to help. You know, he can't give what they need at the moment. You know, if they were further up the table, maybe he could bring his style in, but no, not Martinez.
Yeah, I mean, they've got Villa, Newcastle, Leeds, Southampton, and you've got two of their players. So you're going to find it hard to sell them, given that run?
I know. This is where I get stuck. See,
we've all been there.
You know, in 3 weeks' time, if they've been battered, it will be, well, why did you hang on to Everton players? Like, you know, they've been rubbish. Then again, I've only just got them in. That was an absolute waste of a wild card, by the way, a couple of weeks ago. So I've only just got them in, and I am, you know, wary of hanging on to players for too long. So I'm not sure. They're staying for now because, you know, like I said, like most people, have got to get Salah back. I need to move on Mount. So they'll stay purely and simply because I don't really like taking hits very much. So they'll just hang about. But hopefully the fixtures can turn their form and the new manager can turn their form as well.
You've taken two hits all season.
Yeah, I think one of them, I took a hit. The more recent one, I think I wasn't sure if I'd get 11 out. And I think the other player might have been having an extremely tough fixture like City away or something like that. So I took a hit to ensure that I'd get 11 out. I think, but if I'd have just risked it, I wouldn't have had the -4. Plus, I'd have had an additional 4 points. So, because that player did play and he did all right.
It was back in game week 16, your last hit. You brought in Mount, Bernardo Silva, and a goalkeeper, De Gea, for McCarthy, who I think was injured, right?
Yeah. Put me on the spot now.
Ring your bells?
Yeah. I remember McCarthy being out. But yeah, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be able to field the team.
The only reason I mention it is because a lot of people are taking a lot of hits at the moment, you know, because they're bringing in players and then they're not playing or they're, you know, it's double game weeks, they're bringing in double game week players. But the fact you haven't taken a hit since game week 16, because I was similar, because I think I'd taken about two hits right up until game week 16. But now I've taken three hits in the last 5 weeks.
Why have you taken hits?
Well, I've taken hits to kind of try and get on board double game week players or if I've had blank fixtures and needed to get a squad out and that kind of thing. But you've obviously been able to get a team out and your ranks haven't massively suffered, you know, as a result of it. So it's just interesting that that strategy is different to what quite a lot of people are doing, I think.
I think part of it's due to me making transfers so late in the game that I get to hear more news, like, you know, with Burnley looking like they might have a few issues COVID-wise, I thought, is the Watford game going to be on then? Am I going to hit to get someone like King in? No. And there were other things, like United. United with Ronaldo, sorry. I heard Ronaldo had a bit of a problem, so I knew, oh, I'm not going to captain him. So all those sort of really late things sort of affects the way I think. So yeah, I don't take hits purely and simply because I leave things so late, so I have more information. Whereas a lot of my rivals, they always take a hit the day before, but then they have to hit again.
Yeah.
Because that hit hasn't paid off, if you know what I mean, like getting in Madison and then finding out that he doesn't have a double game week. They're like, oh, but I really want another double game week. I'll take another hit.
And they get moorish as well. You know, once you start taking them, you can't stop yourself. That's kind of what I've noticed. What is interesting with your squad as well is that it is a squad, right? You haven't got in like a 4 million defender. You haven't got Livramento at the moment. I'm stuck with Livramento and Johnson. So when you've got your bench for this week is Sanchez, Gray, Janssen and Dawson, all playing players. So you pay that little bit extra, but that can help you not have to take the hits because you can bring in players off your bench.
I do, yeah. I mean, historically, I tend to have quite a lot of money and a lot of points as well, my bench. Some people like to say, spend your money on the pitch, but with COVID, I much prefer to have, a few points. I think I've benched ESR like twice. I think got like 21, 22 points or something. But yeah, I do prefer to have a playing bench at the moment, whereas previously I would have a 4 million keeper, 4 million defender, and maybe a 5.5 midfielder.
It's nice to see someone with a Brentford defender, even though you didn't even trust him with playing in his double game week this week, Janssen.
Yeah. With all that, all me mentioning how late I make transfers and things like that, I started my wildcard quite early. So Janssen would have had another double or something like that. I can't remember exactly how it happened. But once I saw Janssen's fixtures, was it Liverpool and United? I think I thought, what have I done here? What? And so I've got a guy with a double game week and he's last on my bench.
I know. Well, I've got Pinnock, so I can relate to that. Villa. What are your thoughts on Villa? They've got a good run coming up. Got Coutinho, Dean. Talk about Benitez. Sells Dean.
Yeah.
Leaves.
I'm a big fan of Dean. I mean, I know he's got a big following. He's got my following, certainly. I love everything about him from a fantasy perspective anyway.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, he gets slated a lot. And I think people forget that sometimes it can be down to the manager. Well, I think he was quoted as saying, you know, I've been asked by my manager, Rafa, to be a defender. And that's why he hasn't been getting forward. And I'm just excited for him to be back. I mean, look, first game, I was like, yeah, there he is. That's the bloke I know. And I think he's going to really carry this on now. And with the fixtures as well, like you said, I think he's going to be back. I don't get too carried away, actually.
Honestly, you're gushing about Dean. I wasn't expecting this level. I mean, nine assists last season, eight assists the season before that. He's, you know, not far off levels of Robertson and Trent in terms of like pure assist potential. But you've got to think under Gerrard. He's going to get forward so much under Gerrard, you would have thought.
Yeah, I think he's one to, for me, he's one to watch just now because I've got other things to do.
Yeah.
I actually almost hope he blanks, because a lot of people just look at the blanks, whereas I'll look further into it. And if he's playing well, but without getting the points, I'm happy. That's like perfect scenario for me.
Well, opposite for me. Spoiler alert, I'm bringing them in this week.
Oh, well. I hope so, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I bet you don't. I think there's a lot of people who are thinking that as well. What about Coutinho then? Obviously, as a Reds supporter, you've been kind of following him.
Yeah.
Off on his travels, yeah, at Germany and Spain. It must be nice to see him back in the Premier League.
Yeah, he's a magician, isn't he? He's just wonderful. But I'm not sure about game time. I mean, but then again, he only got a few minutes the other day and look what he did.
Mm.
But I might, as much as I want him, I might leave it another game or two. I don't want to leave it too long and suddenly notice that the fixtures and the ticker and everything has changed. It is a balancing act, isn't it? You've got to time it right. Then I don't want his price to shoot up too much, but I think I'll wait. Watkins, because we got, you know, not great options, let's be honest, in attack, have we? It's all about the other positions, defenders, midfielders, even keepers to a certain extent, like Saar. But up front is where there's a lot of space for growth and trying to find some new options. And I think Watkins, a lot of people are going to think the same thing, but Watkins is the one for me to get in this week.
So Watkins is the pick of the three. Is he the kind of Salah, Mount, you know, switcheroo that you're looking at? Because you have to downgrade Ronaldo to someone, right? So Ronaldo to Ronaldo to Watkins, Mount to Salah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've not been a big fan of Ronaldo this year anyway. I just got him in for the sake of it, you know. I wasn't thinking, oh, yes, nice, juicy, going to get Ronaldo in. So I thought, give Ronaldo a go, but I'll almost certainly end up getting rid of him after a few weeks. And now Watkins is emerging. I'm like, yeah, perfect. Mm. No-brainer for me. Don't need Ronaldo at all.
There you go. Rupert the Horse says, get Watkins.
Yeah, but don't blame me if it doesn't do well.
There's always a disclaimer. It's been great talking to you, Rupert. I've got a couple of questions from Scout when I said that you were on. There's always one, isn't there? El Polarco. Why the long face?
God.
Yep, moving
swiftly. Good horse joke. Good horse joke, El Polarco.
Steve the Spud. So yep. Something that you would eat, I would assume, as a horse. They eat potatoes. Do they eat potatoes?
You're prepared, aren't you?
just comes to me, Rupert. You know, it's a gift. Why the username?
The username, I basically found this little horse on a horse farm out in the middle of nowhere. And I was sort of petting it and asked the director, oh, what's the name of this horse? Is it Rupert? And it was, but that's my name. So I took a little photo of the horse and there we go, Rupert the Horse.
And that's been your name ever since? Because you said you use it for everything, right? Of course, all different... whatever you do on the internet, you're Rupert the Horse.
Call of Duty, whatever it may be. It's Rupert the Horse for absolutely everything.
Rupert the Horse for everything. Love it. Delfeu asks about Jota. Oh, yeah. Thoughts on losing Jota?
Well, I have been thinking the same thing as well. A couple of people made some suggestions going with Robertson moving Jota to Salah. My only issue is I didn't think about that a week ago. So now I meant to do Mount to Salah, but yeah, now I've got this little thought in my head, like DeVoe is probably suggesting, I guess, in terms of losing Jota. He's probably thinking about going the Robertson
route. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Do you think Robertson's maybe a better long-term hold than, well, a long-term sort of buy than Jota?
I do, because I think cool. Defenders are better long-term holds anyway. I think it sort of goes keeper, defender, midfielder, striker, doesn't it, in terms of how long you tend to keep people. Like, I've probably had Cancelo and Trent since game week one. Probably a lot of other people have as well. So yeah, I'd say Robertson's probably a better.
I guess the kind of caveat to that is if you're going with Trent and Cancelo and then you add Robertson as well, you've got a really pricey defence there. So if you do want to start moving for the likes of De Bruyne, maybe we'll see Sterling come into it. Could Fernandes be a factor? Son coming back? You know, we look to the defence first to downgrade, right? Mm. But I'm finding it really hard because I've got Livramento, Johnson and Pinnock. Like the three worst Ooh. Defenders you could like, oh basically possibly have.
Yeah, it's not, the pound shop.
It's not pretty. But I'm looking at defenders around the 5 million and under mark, and no one's impressive. Like, there isn't really anyone. I mean, that's why I'm looking at Dean. Because Dean, to me, is a standout. Or even Cash, you know, if you pay a little bit more. But it's not easy. And then you look at someone like Robertson, and you think, wow, that is someone who could really, you know, kick on from here towards the end
but
of the season.
But yeah, you're right. You do have to sacrifice... But that's the thing, with so little money in attack for so many teams, you know, like I said, I gave Ronaldo a little go. Once Ronaldo's at the team, I'll have who? Antonio, Watkins and Dennis, who costs nothing. Got to probably have a little, keep an eye on his form, I guess. But with so little money in attack, you can spread it around. I probably won't be going for KDB or Sterling just yet. I'm reacting a little bit slow, I suppose, to Sterling and KDB. But I'm still worried about rotation and things like that. I don't need rotation in these sort of times. You know, rotation and games getting called off is not a good combo. So that's not for me. Some people would argue, I suppose, that Sterling and KDB aren't getting rotated that much, but... You know, we all know Pep. They could get rotated next week and then we all go, oh, why did I go and get in Sterling?
So you're just avoiding the City mids?
I am. Yeah. I am. I don't see enough value. I think a lot of people are thinking about KDB of a few seasons ago. You know, when he scores a goal now, it's like, oh, my God, absolutely amazing. But you've got to think about how much money you've spent on that solitary goal. I mean, same as Sterling, although he banged a couple the other day, didn't he? So I just think it's too much money when you've got people like who are really reliable. I mean, look at Bowen. I mean, he's just come out of nowhere.
It's easy to do at the moment because Salah's not there. But as soon as you try and get Salah back, you're going to have Salah and you know, a lot of people are going to stick with Ronaldo. And trying to get in three premiums as well as having the defenders that we've got is tough.
If you're sticking with Ronaldo, that's different. I don't know why you would, but if you're sticking with Ronaldo, that's a completely different story. Yeah, the whole getting rid of Jota and replacing him with Robertson strategy is going to be really difficult to work, especially if you haven't got a wild card. So, yeah, for me, I probably will end up going Robertson, but that's because, like I keep saying, Ronaldo won't be in the team, so I'll have loads of money.
Not something I thought about, dumping Jota for Salah. Don't think I'll do it, but I've got no, Fernandes, no, so it's an easy kind of upgrade ish for me. But yeah, I can see the logic. Cause I think Robertson and Jota are similarly matched, and we're starting to see Robertson hit some form now as well, sort of going forward.
Yeah, he's about a million less, I think.
Yeah, he is. Rupert, it has been awesome to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on. I believe we're gonna hopefully get you doing some editorial stuff as well. Neil's got some stuff lined up potentially in the pipeline. Be great to have you on another video at some point as well.
Yeah, that would be great.
And to put a face to the name that I've seen on the board. It'd be great.
Yeah. So it's not a horse face, but well, some people might think it is. But
and if you if you're listening to this and you stick around after the video, you'll get to hear my brilliant joke that I made, which I edited out of the stream, but I'm going to add on to the end as a little treat. So.
Honestly. All right, thanks, Hans.
Thanks so much, Rupert. I will speak to you soon.
All right, cheers. Bye-bye.